the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Johnny Abear. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing? It's a beautiful day today. A little cool, but it's going to be pretty.
Yes, agreed. My goodness. Well, we have some amazing saints today. Before we get started, Johnny, lead us in prayer.
Yeah, in fact, we are remembering Saints Timothy and Titus today, two of Paul's closest followers, and both became bishops. So they show us that there was a hierarchy. How about that? even then, in the early days. So we're going to call on them in our prayer this morning, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who adorned Saints Timothy and Titus with apostolic virtues, grant, through the intercession of them both, that living justly and devoutly in this present age, we may merit to reach our heavenly homeland. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Saints Timothy and Titus, pray for us.
Great.
And they got their own missal, their own letters in the New Testament. So that's some powerful, notes to have under your resume.
Well, and we will hear more about our saints of the day later on in today's show. But we're going to hear about your gospel reflection, Johnny, in just a few moments. We're also joined by Al Smith. Today he's talking about his book called The Greatest Commandment, a Fulton Sheen anthology on love. We have Chris O'Neill, Director of Marriage and Family Life Apostolate in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and he's talking about the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference. So there's one that's happening in Baton Rouge that's coming up and one that's happening in the Archdiocese. And the one in the Archdiocese is in person for the first time since 2020. So they had their Catholic Men's Conference the weekend before everything started shutting down for COVID. So they barely made it in 2020. So they're back and they have a great lineup, great stuff going on. And Kristen Van Uden joins us. She's going to talk about this book that's been so highly requested on our morning show, A Cardiologist Examines Jesus, The Stunning Science Behind Eucharistic Miracles. Johnny, this is going to be such a great interview.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I think it was both Damien and I saw the book or heard about it, and we texted you, Gabby. It's like, well, can we get this guy on? You said, we've already got him on, so we're already going to have him. That was fantastic. Holy Spirit kind of leading this show still. So, looking at the weather, it's going to look pretty good. Sunny, cool days, clear, cold nights today and tomorrow, Gabby. High in the mid-50s, lows in the lower 30s. I kind of like it. The extended forecast, everybody's always looking ahead, already thinking about the weekend, right? So, but through Sunday, it's going to stay dry. Yay! High temperatures in the upper 50s, lows in the mid to upper 30s. So right now, it's 35 in Baton Rouge, 41 in Houma, and past Christian, and 43 in New Orleans. Up here in Bush, what is it? Looks like 37 right now. A little cool out here in the country.
So, oh, my goodness.
It's a good, beautiful day. Get out and enjoy the sun today, right?
Yes, definitely. Well, yesterday was so rainy and cold, and today I'm hoping for some sun. And that's fine if it's still cold, but I just love it when it's sunny. I can deal with the cold when it's sunny. So, but
you're right. Just stand there in the, you know,
in the sun.
You can soak it up.
My goodness, absolutely. Oh my goodness. Well, we have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It is 7:05 on Wake Up.
Thank you. good Wednesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel comes to us from Mark chapter 4. On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered around him so that he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on land. And he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears ought to hear." And when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive, and hear and listen but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground who, when they hear the word, receive it at once with joy. But they have no roots. They last only for a time. Then when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel introduces an extended discourse in Mark's gospel about Jesus' teaching. It's called the Sermon on the Sea. Jesus begins with an admonition that literally means, "Listen, look." He concludes with the words, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." In the biblical sense, to hear means to absorb, to appropriate deeply into one's heart, to allow the message to sink in, to change one's whole life. Jesus eagerly reveals the mystery of his heart to those disciples who are open to receiving it. However, to those who lock themselves outside, Jesus' message of salvation remains hidden because their obstinacy prevents them from being converted and forgiven. Jesus is the sower of life and truth. The seed is his proclamation of the kingdom. The ones on the path are those in whom the words meet with no interest or receptivity. Satan swoops down like a greedy bird and snatches it away. Others enthusiastically receive the word, but they are blocked by their underlying hardness of heart that prevents God's word from penetrating deeply. Their allegiance is too shallow to survive temptations or persecution. They easily fall away. Those sowed among the thorns also do not let God's seed sink in, because they are too preoccupied with this world and its cares. They easily get caught up in the deceptive lure of riches and the craving for possessions. As a result, their spiritual life is sterile. The rich sower represents those who allow the Word of God to produce its marvelous effect in their lives. They take Jesus into their hearts so he can transform their lives. Then they can bear fruit. But some are more submissive than others, so the yields are different. Jesus calls us to examine ourselves. Are we a hard pathway, or a rocky soil, or the thorny soil? If we bear fruit, is it 30, 60, or 100-fold? What is our response to God's love, and what are our obstacles to responding more fully? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Well, guys, I don't know about you, but I think I'm guilty of being all kinds of soils at any time in my life.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes. One day it's just things going on and you're just distracted. And then some days just kind of hard hearted and goes on and on, you know. And so Jesus is speaking directly to us and to the world. And, you know, I think that the situation with the world today is especially strange in this way. Yeah. There's so much talk these days about being open-minded, being tolerant, that type of a thing. And yet, in those same spheres, especially social media, but in society in general, that there's a closed mind and intolerance, I guess a bigotry, for the message of Jesus Christ in the world today, who is the source of all tolerance and all truth. So that's a strange thing. So how you break into that, it continues to be a difficult challenge. I know, Gabby, you've mentioned that before with your generation especially.
Well, so, my generation, yeah, and the generation after me, I think that on social media and in the world, we speak tolerance, and of course we should be kind to others. Of course, we're all very different, and imitate Christ in that way. But when the world is challenged and put to the test, that's when we freak out. That's when we don't know what to do. That's when the meanness comes out on Twitter and Instagram, because we're challenged. Hey, weren't we supposed to be kind to each other? Weren't we supposed to be nice? You know, and so that we fail constantly. We're always falling. Mm. In that sense,
and that's why I think the parables are so powerful, because using Jesus's example, this is what we can do. We can tell. We start with our story, and we blend in our, since our story is so healing, and Jesus is the healer. Then we obviously tell Jesus's story as we're telling ours. And who can argue with our story and these truths and this peace? And that's the way. It's just as Jesus did here, sitting on the sea, basically calming things and projecting out with radios doing that. So we're doing that even as we speak, but especially one-on-one. We just continue to tell our story and the story of Jesus's message and let that take root. And if it does not, you know, then that's a choice. That's the free choice that God gives to everyone, which Jesus refers to today. So may our lives, our words, our actions, one-on-one, speak the truth and the beauty of Jesus today. Hey, stay with us. We're going to hear more about this topic. Al Smith is going to join us on his book about one who spoke it so well, Bishop Fulton Sheen. Yeah, that's right. It's all about love. 7:15 now on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 26th. Today we celebrate Saints Timothy and Titus. Today's two saints give us a glimpse of life in the early church. The zeal for the apostolate, the devotion to Jesus, the deep bonds of friendship that sustained them. Timothy and Titus were bishops who spent most of their time on the road. Both worked with Saint Paul and became two of his most faithful friends. Paul actually converted Timothy, who later joined him in his apostolic work, including the founding of the church in Corinth. Paul eventually installed Timothy as his representative at the church of Ephesus. Timothy died at the end of the first century, probably in the year 97. Titus became one of Paul's most trusted friends as they preached the gospel at Corinth and in Macedonia. When Paul was having trouble with the community at Corinth, he chose Titus to help smooth over the problems. His final assignment was the organization of the Christian community on the island of Crete. He died around the year 94. Both Timothy and Titus remind us that the world is saved not by what we do, but by what God does through the life He creates for us. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good to be back with you. It's 7:18 on Wake Up. Beautiful, cold, clear day today. Enjoy it if you can get out. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just talking about love and the law and all those things. So we're really going to follow up on this, because we're really pleased to be joined this morning by Al Smith, talking about his book, The Greatest Commandment, a Fulton Sheen Anthology on Love. Good morning, Al.
Hey, good morning, Johnny and Gabby. It's great to be here in a very warm environment. It's minus 22 up here in Canada, and so
no.
I heard it's above freezing down there in Louisiana. So, again, we'll warm our hearts for people listening all over. So, again, thanks for having me.
Oh, wow. My gosh. Wait, I have a question because I've always wanted to ask someone this who lives in the cold temps. Do you go outside? Like, what do you do? That's so cool. I can't even fathom.
Minus 22, centigrade is about minus 5 Fahrenheit. So we go outside, we bundle up, we cover as much up as you can. We shovel snow, but we know that the warm temperatures around the corner. It's kind of a short, very cold season for about 2 months. But again, in Canada, we have four seasons, and we enjoy them all. And again, it's one of those things: safety. It's you bundle up. Is that what you do?
Wow.
That's something. Well, Al, we just heard a spot on you. We talked a little bit about your background, being a lawyer, a husband, and heavily involved with Men of the Immaculata. But your connection to Fulton Sheen, I'm really curious about that. What led you to kind of put this anthology of these two books together?
Right. Well, I fell in love with Fulton Sheen's writings when I was 48 years old, so I came late to the table, but still, I found that Fulton Sheen had these recipes, and I like to say recipes in that he had writings that he'd speak to different themes, and so, of course, he wrote a great deal on the cross, and so I put together an anthology called The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, which is his reflections on the seven last words. He had a great deal on prayer, and so I put together a little anthology called Lord Teach Us to Pray, where he talks about the Our Father, the Mass, and the Holy Hour. And of course, my a book we just released a little while ago was These Are the Sacraments, and it was Sheen's writings on marriage and the sacraments. But I also found that he wrote a great deal on God's love. And when I went through his collection of 66 books, I realized he had a book that he penned in 1944 called Love One Another, and it was his writings to the world as the war was ending. He was trying to give people some timely advice on how to conduct themselves, how to live their lives. And so this book, Love One Another, is a great must-read for everybody because we're all looking to how to get along with different races, culture, different faith denominations. Again, we're all saying, I want peace. I want peace. How do I get peace? Well, Fulton Sheen has a recipe for that, so we included his writings in this new anthology called The Greatest Commandment. And he also had a book he penned in 1955, I should say, called God Love You, which is the best of Fulton Sheen. And we take 23 of his books and take the quotes from the best of the best and all of his writings on love. So that's what's in this anthology, because I just thought it was too good to hide it under a bushel basket. It had to be shared for the whole world, so you have it now.
Wow, that's so some people obviously would be surprised to say Fulton Sheen wrote about love so much, but maybe those who know him for his writings wouldn't be surprised. But I guess some might would say, well, what does that time frame and what he was expressing going through, what relevance does it have to today? And I think you may have mentioned one time about the definition of love has gotten kind of twisted today. So what did you read? What did jumped out at you and said, yes, when you read it, you said, these are truths that are still applicable to us today?
Right. Well, I think there's always been a tension, I find, in our lives between religions and cultures. My Protestant friends, there's a tension there sometimes in the room. And you just kind of go, yes, we both love God. I think, I like what Mother Teresa taught me, always look what you have in common. And we just spend time with that. And Fulton Sheen did the same thing. He says, let's share what we have in common. God is our Father. And of course, he, uses an analogy of blood types. And he says, there's only four types of blood. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is. If you have a blood match, it works. It works. And so he kind of broke some barriers there. He was trying to introduce us to this common fatherhood in God and, of course, just tried to relieve some of the tensions. And I think that's what we talk about life coaches and mentors. I think Fulton Sheen, I think when I read his writings, I go, he's a coach. He's that good dad that's just trying to give me some little pithy sayings to just kind of take me through the day. And I think this is what I find with Fulton Sheen's writings. You read a sentence, you have to put it down because it's so good and there's so much truth in it.
Mm. You know, Al, we were talking earlier on the show today about tolerance and what real tolerance means. And I think one in the notes I was looking at that you had put down had Fulton Sheen had something to say with its connection to the truth. And so even though you have all these commonalities, what did Fulton Sheen teach us or lead to us about what real tolerance means?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's that whole sense of living the gospel. I mean, you know, he wanted to make sure that we never tolerate an evil, because there's always that saying, you know, that people want to say that what is evil is good and what is good is evil. And, you know, we've had that pressure put on us to comply, to give in. And yet we have to meet that with resistance every day. And this whole idea of following the greatest commandment to love one another as Jesus loved us. So, you know, tolerance, intolerance, it's a word that's, you know, served up a great deal. And they'll say, you're intolerant of me. No, I'm against sin. I disagree with your sin. And so he would just say, let's call sin what it is. Because Fulton Sheen said the greatest sin today is that we've denied sin, that we think we're immaculately conceived. We kind of have downplayed sin and made it normalized. And so he wanted to just keep, you know, correcting. So I don't know. That's kind of my take on it.
Wow. Hey, and we understand the book's got quotes and prayers and to foster ecumenism and unity. And there's writings of the saints in there, philosophy, sacred scripture. That kind of was of the bishop's style, though, wasn't it? He seemed to have a way of fusing all that in there. How's it done in the writings that you've gathered?
Yeah, you know, I have a little giggles and laugh moment every time I put a book together. I count up how many Bible references there are in the book, and in this book, there's actually 230 Bible references, and
wow.
You know, again, there's like a scripture passage on every page, and I think Fulton Sheen, this is why he was loved by Protestants and Catholics alike. He always unpackaged the scriptures. He shared the scriptures, and he would quote the scriptures in almost in every conversation. And so, this is what he's doing here. He's pointing us to the Word of God. He's saying the truth is in the Word. You will find strength in the Word, and it's his nice way of saying, "Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Get to know your Bible." So, again, he's a scripture scholar. So let's remember, how many doctorates does Fulton Sheen have? Many. You know, he's a smart man, and so of course, being a scripture scholar is one of them. And he wants us to fall in love with the Word of God.
Mm. Yes, we are talking with Al Smith about his book, The Greatest Commandment, a Fulton Sheen anthology on love, two books that have been put together here. And so how can we get a copy of the book, Al?
Great. Just released through Sophia Institute Press. Again, Sophia Institute Press. You can find them at sophiainstitute.com. And there you'll find The Greatest Commandment and the other three anthologies that I mentioned, The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, A Great Lenten Read, Lord Teach Us to Pray, and These Are the Sacraments, Bishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments, I should say. And again, all through Sophia Institute Press. And there's another company called Amazon.com that people go to from time to time. But I always say support your local bookstore. You know, buy local if you can. Have them bring the book in. But, of course, Sophia Institute Press is our publisher and has been a great friend in promoting the writings of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Wow. Thanks, Al. Hey, real quick, we got maybe 30 seconds. I want to ask you, give us a quick update on the Men of the Immaculata Men's Conference, where we stand on that.
Oh,
No, I think you got me mixed up with another famous person.
Yeah,
so.
That's Scott Smith.
Yeah, sorry.
We're getting
sorry
our Smiths confused. There's so many
so
of them.
I thought you wanted an update on the cause of the canonization of Fulton Sheen. And I always say we're waiting for a new date from Rome to have a beatification celebration. So we pray that the Vatican will give us a call soon and give us that new date, and we'll celebrate together the beatification of Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Yeah, that'll be something. Well, we hope you stay warm up there. Minus 22. Wow. Keep writing. Keep warm by with Bishop. Wrap ourselves up with a good book like this one. Kind of keep us warm. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Johnny and Gabby, and God love you.
All right. Thanks, Al. Well, stay with us. We're going to be joined after the break with Chris O'Neill to talk about the upcoming men's conference. Speaking of men's conferences, in New Orleans, it's 7:30 now on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. With Pennsylvania's Supreme Court having an abortion-friendly reputation, legislators are concerned that a current abortion industry lawsuit could compel taxpayers to pay for abortion. Using the same thoughtful and innovative legal work as has created other pro-life legislation, lawmakers in Harrisburg may have a solution. The Life Amendment would prohibit funding of abortion and clarify that there is no right to abortion. As amendments are a matter between legislators and voters there, abortion-friendly Governor Tom Wolf has no role to play in the process. After approval by two legislative sessions, amendments become ballot measures in Pennsylvania. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life is like a bright city on a hill. Just as people in 1890 might have had difficulty imagining today's cities, so it may be today in imagining a culture of life. But it starts with more than imagination. It starts with the moral commitment to offer the highest regard to the gift of God hidden within each human life. Let's become the culture of life. California is crafting vaccination laws for children. California youths above age 12 would gain legal power to consent to vaccines without parental involvement. This California innovation comes a week after a state political activist proposed that California abolish parenthood. Saturday, vulgar heckling met worshipers after a pro-life mass at New York's St. Patrick Cathedral. Protesters now promise to impede a pro-life rosary prayer procession in New York City the first Saturday of February. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is 7:35 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Johnny Hebert. And just got word, some of you guys may be having some trouble with 690 AM in New Orleans. We are currently working on it. So thank you so much for all those who informed us. You can listen to us, of course, on our app or on the website, on Facebook. So many wonderful ways. You can download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Just type in Catholic Community Radio, and it's absolutely free. And you listen to us on the go, so it's great. And I just got a notification. It's back on. So great. We're so glad to have you guys with us, those who are listening on 690. Hey, Johnny, I just want to give a quick update before we get to our next guest. I know I asked that question to Al on how do you go outside if it's minus zero. You're talking to a girl who's always lived on the coast in the south, so I have no idea. So I'm always curious, and it's so good to have Al with us, but it's even better to have Chris O'Neill with us. He is the Director of Marriage and Family Life Apostolate in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and today he's joining us to talk about the upcoming Archdiocese of New Orleans Catholic Men's Conference. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good. It sounds like you're in a helicopter or something. We're just going to go with it. It's so funny. Chris, let me tell you, I attended as a vendor the first Catholic men's conference in the Archdiocese of New Orleans in 2020. And it was just days before COVID changed our area. And so tell us, it's back and you guys are so excited about this.
Oh, yeah, we are very excited about it. We are finally ready to start getting back together. It was the last big event in the Archdiocese before COVID happened, and it was just a remarkable event. And we were so excited that it went so well, and there was such a good response from the men of the Archdiocese, and we really were like couldn't wait to do it again, and then we couldn't. So last year we weren't able to gather, and we did our video series. And if you want to learn about that, you can see that at NOLACatholicMen.com. You can see the video series we did last year, but you know, we just can't wait to be able to gather everyone together again. We have some really great speakers that are that we have lined up. You know, we're going to be at St. Catherine of Siena Parish again in Metairie. Registrations have opened, and we've already started to get lots of, you know, several registrations have been just kind of flowing in, which is really gratifying to see too. You know, that people are coming out and want to come, and we just want to get everybody there. You know, it's such a great thing for us to be able to gather together, you know, as a community, as men. You know, I think that one of the most impressive things about the day, and Gabby, maybe you saw this perhaps, but, you know, the speakers were great. Mass was great. Mm-hmm. We have adoration, rosary, all that. But like when you have a whole church completely full of men praying together, singing together, lifting each other up, encouraging each other, just being together that way and having a common purpose. Seeking the Lord, seeking holiness together. It's such an encouragement. It's such a shot in the arm because the world, it's hard. It's hard to live and be serious about your Catholic faith. You know, we tend to treat our religious life as something just that's private. That's just me by myself, lone ranger in the world. And that's not how we're meant. That's not how we're meant to live our spiritual life. We're meant to be together and to do it together. You know, the Lord calls us together as a community. So it's just a really great opportunity. We cannot wait to get everybody together again to be with everybody and to pray and to encourage each other and to grow and take another step in our faith together.
Yeah. So it's happening on March 12th of 2022. And it's, like you said, at St. Catherine of Siena. That's off of Bonneville Boulevard in Metairie, right off of I-10. You can't miss it. It's a huge church, big campus.
It's a big campus, and we fill it up. You know, we're going to fill it up. It's easy to get to. Registration, you can sign up at, you go to NOLACatholicMen.com. And all the information about the conference is there. That's where you can register online. You get a t-shirt. There's breakfast and lunch will be provided. Just come out, get your folks coming out. You know, one thing also we learned about the conference is that, you know, men don't go to men's conferences. You know, it's not something you don't go by yourself. You know, what happens is men's groups go to men's conferences. You know, you go with your friends. You know, you gather a couple of people together. And so if you're interested in coming, you know, talk to your buddies, because there are your friends around you who would go if you go with them. You know, so the way we like to talk about it is, you know, the way you get people to come is you tap them on the shoulder and you say, hey, I'm going to this thing, come with me. And, you know, you would be surprised at how many men are waiting for that kind of invitation. So, you know, if you have an interest in this conference and you want to come, you know, tap your buddies and bring them along, because that's, you know, and they'll be glad. They'll be grateful that you did that for them. So, so don't be afraid to do that and come on out.
Chris, talk about the speakers.
Yeah, so we have three great speakers. We have our own Chris Baglow. A lot of people know Dr. Baglow. He taught at Notre Dame Seminary for many years, and now he's teaching up in Notre Dame up in Indiana. And so he'll be coming. And then we have Jonathan Reyes. Jonathan Reyes is on the Supreme Council of the Knights of Columbus. He is responsible for evangelization efforts for all the Knights of Columbus in the whole country. He's a really excellent speaker, very passionate. I think people will really enjoy hearing from him. And then we have Austin Taylor. Austin is now the president of St. Aug High School. Before that, he worked for Discovery Network and BET Television, and he did marketing, and he was a very high level businessman in that area. He's been working at St. Aug for a while now, and he's the president there. He does incredible work. Also, just an excellent, great speaker, very passionate. And all of them are going to be coming and talking about, all of the different relationships that we have as sons of the Father. The theme of the retreat is sons of the Father, and we're going to talk about, how we're sons of the Father, and that makes us brothers with each other, and that God calls us to responsibility as fathers ourselves. So those are the three themes of the talk of the day. And it's just going to be great.
Yeah, some great speakers. Real quick, Chris, we have about a minute left. What is the cost to attend, and how do we do that?
Yeah, so the cost to attend is $45. You go to the website, NolaCatholicMen.org, register there. You pay online. There's also opportunities to make a donation if you want to pay for a seminarian. We have a discount for seminarians, and you can kind of kick in and help pay for that. And then there's also an opportunity where you could buy a voucher, which is like if you want to buy a registration for a friend or for your son or for your father or somebody else, give it as a gift. You can do that too. And all of that instructions and everything for that are on the registration page. Just go to NolaCatholicMen.com, and that's where everything, you'll find everything you need.
Great. Chris O'Neill, Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Chris, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about this wonderful men's conference.
Hey, Gabby, thank you. And thanks, everybody. Come on out. Look forward to see you there.
Yeah, great. Oh, my goodness. Well, if you can't make the Baton Rouge one, maybe make the New Orleans one and vice versa, because I know a lot of men travel from Baton Rouge to New Orleans at the conferences. These are both great, so definitely check that out. It is 7:45 on Wake Up.
I'll wake up. Good to be with you on this 26th day of January. Well, if you've got any kind of a medical or scientific background, don't go anywhere because we're really excited to bring with you our next guest, Kristen Van Uden, to talk about a book by Dr. Franco Serafini called A Cardiologist Examines Jesus, The Stunning Science Behind Eucharistic Miracles. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we're excited to have you. It's very interesting. A couple of us saw the book. I saw it at the local Catholic bookstore, and we need to talk to this doctor, and we found out you already had us on. So, okay. So first, we know that faith and science are fully compatible, and we don't need only science to prove God. But boy, when the natural world gives us a glimpse, it's really special. So tell us about Dr. Serafini and what his medical and scientific research revealed about Eucharistic miracles.
Right. So, of course, the Gospels tell us, blessed is he who has not seen and yet has still believed. And that is basically what Dr. Serafini took as his inspiration when he was investigating these Eucharistic miracles. Is basically what happens is that the Eucharist itself, every time that it is confected during the Mass, is a miracle because the bread becomes miraculously the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. What we mean by a Eucharistic miracle is when that veil is sort of torn between what are called the accidents or the appearances of bread and wine and what we know to truly be there. So Dr. Serafini is a cardiologist from Bologna, Italy, and recently he has investigated five contemporary Eucharistic miracles in which during the transubstantiation, the bread turned into what was observable under the microscope as cardiac tissue. This cardiac tissue was very consistent across the board. So these miracles occurred from as far-flung places as Buenos Aires to Sokolka, Poland, and between 1992 and 2013, and they each manifested as the same thing. So the heart tissue, when examined by scientists, is found to actually be suffering. So we know, of course, that during the Passion, our Lord went through great suffering. And it's really interesting that almost the entire Passion is observable just from these microscopic microbiological processes. The first condition that Dr. Serafini observed was actually something that's quite consistent with the agony in the garden. So it's a condition that goes by its Japanese name called Takotsubo. And what that literally means is a fish pot for catching octopus. And that refers to the shape of the pot because the heart in this condition takes on that shape where the top is constricted and cannot pump blood properly anymore, and the bottom of the heart becomes enlarged. This is a condition that happens when there is great psycho or emotional stress. So, of course, we know during the agony in the garden, our Lord was even sweating blood because of the great emotional and spiritual distress he was under. So even that was observable. And then the scourging and the walk to Calvary were both observable as well. There was a condition that's known as necrosis, which means basically mast cell death after blunt trauma to the area. So, of course, we know he was beaten heavily the entire time. He could not break his fall as he was carrying the cross. So that type of trauma would have been very consistent with the Passion. and then later on in the book, Dr. Serafini actually diagnoses our Lord's cause of death as well, which I had not seen before. So I'll leave that to the reader to discover for himself.
Oh, wow. But now, let me ask you something. You used the tense under trauma. Are we speaking what he's finding is some tissue that had experienced this, or are you actually speaking of something that's ongoing? I'm curious.
That's interesting because, of course, he has died but is risen. So Christ is no longer suffering now, but this is basically indicative of the sacrifice that is re-presented on the altar. Of course, it's every time that the Mass is said, Jesus does not suffer again when that happens, but we are consuming his risen body at that point. and so to have the evidence of the Passion but also of the resurrection in this heart tissue was something that Dr. Serafini examined. And the one really compelling piece of evidence for the fact that we consume Christ's glorified body was actually in the DNA. There was not a full genetic profile observable under the microscope, even though there was some DNA available. And Dr. Serafini's theory about that is that since our Lord's body is glorified, he would not need what's called junk DNA, which in each of our DNA is basically almost up to 75%, just repeating STRs, wow, which are really not biologically needed for anything. They don't code for anything in the body. They're good to be able to identify individuals, so like in forensics or in ancestry DNA processes, things like that. But in a glorified body, our Lord would not need that, of course. So that is Dr. Serafini's theory about why we cannot get a full DNA profile of our Lord.
Wow. So what we're talking about here, if we hear what you're saying, is that we're talking about studies that reveal a heart that is still enduring trauma, in a sense, and the DNA that is reveals, I guess, both his humanity and his divinity, in a sense.
Absolutely.
This is incredible stuff, I tell you.
Yeah, one of the most interesting things to me was how the presence of leukocytes, which are white blood cells, in this heart tissue indicates a connection to a larger body.
because the heart does not produce white blood cells. They're produced in the bone marrow, and then they travel to the heart under times of distress. So that means that this heart tissue was alive and was also connected to the larger mystical body of Christ. So it's really something that's not producible unless by a miracle.
This is powerful. And I know a lot of people are wondering. And again, we are talking about with Kristen Van Uden about the book "A Cardiologist Examines Jesus: The Stunning Science Behind Eucharistic Miracles," written by Dr. Franco Serafini. I saw it on the bookshelf. I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. So, how can people get a copy of this book?
Yeah, so it's available at our website, sophiainstitute.com, and also on Amazon.
Wow. What a boost to faith this week. Thank you so much, Kristen, for joining us. And please pass on our deep appreciation to Dr. Serafini.
Absolutely, I will do. Thanks for having me. God bless.
Thank you. I don't know about you, Gabby, but my goodness, these types of glimpses into the eternal, it just gets you fired up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's so interesting, and the research and the updated research every time, you know, just lures you in more and more. So it's just, you can't explain it. I don't know. It's just, it's so interesting. I love it. I'm so glad we had this one.
Yeah, so as we go and receive our Lord on Sunday, let's keep these, he's didn't just enter our world, he is still in our world and leads us on to the next. So, well, speaking of that, you know, remember that as our prayers today, we can pull in Saints Timothy and Titus, you know, companions of Paul, and pull our own companions together to spread the word today in a world that deeply needs it. So I'm going to call on Gabby a prayer to close today. We're going to call on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We're talking about the heart, right? Perfect. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Heart of Jesus, sweet sanctuary of rest, bring peace to my soul and settle my spirit. I vow to place all my worries and fears into the wound of your Sacred Heart, there to be tended to in accordance with your perfect will, which desires only the best and the highest good. Your love alone is enough, and I surrender to it, clinging to the hope of a swift resolution and trusting with confidence in all your promises. Amen. Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Bishop Michael Duca joins us, along with David Dawson Jr. from the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.